All right, good morning. Can you imagine being swallowed by a whale or even just being in its mouth? I kind of have a thing like a claustrophobia thing that when my brothers and I were young, and I'm the youngest of three boys, we used to play this game where we climb into our sleeping bags, you know, head first, and then stand up and like run around the house and try to knock each other over. And the worst thing for me, because I had big brothers, is when I'd fall over and then immediately they'd like either lay across my legs or hold my sleeping bag closed so that you're head first in your sleeping bag and you can't get out. So I hate that feeling. So I'm imagining being this guy who I'd never get in the water with. So there's this big feeding going on in this where it's like once a year all these, I think it was herring run, and all the different types of animals, you know, dolphins, sharks, whales, all kind of herd up these, school up these herring, and then these divers jump in the water with all those animals and are filming them and everything. It's just, gives me the creeps. But imagine being caught by one and you know the whale's going to go down. He was talking about another interview, just talking about taking a deep breath when he realized I'm caught in the mouth of this whale and it's going to dive. And who knows how far down. It could have gone down enough to just the pressure alone could have killed him. But how long was he going to have to hold his breath? Ugh, I don't like it. Anyways, my name's Jeff. I'm the associate pastor here at Adventure, and super glad you've joined us this morning. This is our first morning going to one service so we can all be together. I'm excited about that, and hopefully you'll get to meet some people even after service who you don't know, but have actually been a part of our fellowship. If you're visiting, glad you're here. Let me catch you up a little bit on where we're at with our Sunday mornings. Last week, we started a series in the book of Jonah. And so we left that story. Jonah was called by God to go to a city that was actually the capital city of their enemies, of the Israelites, God's people, their enemy, the Assyrians. And he was called to go there and say, God says to you, your sin has come up before me. You've got 40 days before this place is utterly destroyed. And we talked about how wicked that city was. Torture, emotional torture, just all kinds of nasty things that went on in that city. And Assyria was this country bent on world domination. And so they would do horrific things to their captives. But Jonah did not obey God. He got that message and he's like, the Assyrians are my enemies. They're horrible people. I don't want to go to that city. They'll probably kill me. And who knows? God in his compassion might actually save them, and I don't want that. So he runs. And last week, we left off with him running, getting caught in a storm. He got on a ship heading the opposite direction, and he gets swallowed by a great fish. So we left him in the belly of a great fish. So you can imagine 3 days inside of a fish and the desperation with which we come to chapter 2 this morning. Few things we asked ourselves last week. Question was, how are you handling the treasure God has entrusted to you? I gave out these Spanish gold coins last week. If you missed last week, sucks to be you. How many of you went home and buried this in your backyard? Because we asked the question, there you have it, good job. We asked the question, and Russ, okay? You get a gold coin for that? We asked, are we acting more like prophets or pirates? Why would we say that about Jonah? Because he was entrusted with an incredible treasure, which was actually the salvation of this city, Nineveh. But he acted more like a pirate, not the prophet who was to bring God's word, God's good news to them, which is actually in the form of repent or you'll be destroyed. But he took that and he tried to head out like a pirate. And I shared my pirate story, last week, if you were here, because a couple of weeks ago, I had the opportunity to share the treasure of Jesus Christ and the salvation that comes through him in my life. The goodness of that, because I was at the gas station and somebody was in distress. This woman was crying. She wasn't pumping gas. She was just sitting in the spot to pump the gas, just sitting in her driver's seat. And I didn't do anything, except I asked her, are you okay? And she's like, yeah, you know, crying. And then I kind of wrestled in my mind, which was my mistake. I wrestled in my mind with what I should do. I drove away, and then I walked with God in conviction and felt like I was supposed to go back, but she was gone. I missed that opportunity. It was a really good lesson for me. But last week, while I was telling that story, somebody in our fellowship was listening and going, wow, Jeff, that story is the exact opposite of my experience from the week before. And as I heard her story, I'm like, everybody's got to hear this story. So Vanessa, would you come up and share your story? So, pirate, prophet.
Good to see y'all here in one service. So about a week and a half ago, I was in the hospital, and I had a roommate that was in the hospital for the same thing. We both have chronic pancreatitis, and it was really weird to be in the hospital with someone that had the same bed in the same room. And we started to talk a little bit, and I had told her what caused my illness, and she confided in me what caused her illness. And hers was due to binge drinking. And it was her third time in the hospital for this. And we started to talk a little bit. And I told her what caused my illness, and she confided to me what hers was. It was her, like I said, third time. We had talked a while, and I went back to my bed and so she could rest. And I could hear her over there, and she was just in severe pain and constant nausea. And she was crying a lot. So while laying there in my bed, I just couldn't stop thinking about her, and I had this overwhelming feeling that I should talk to her more. I was wearing a cross around my neck, so I took it off, and I wrote her a note with my name and my phone number on it, and I sat there in my bed and just, should I go, should I not, should I go, should I not, and I just had this feeling that I needed to go back to her. It was so strong that I felt like God was telling me to do that, to take that step out of my comfort zone and just do it. So really scared and nervous that she would reject me, I went back over to her bed, and I sat down beside her, and I handed her my necklace. And she just started just weeping. And she said that nobody had ever done that for her before, and she just started to cry. And I asked her if I could pray for her. She was really open to that, so I prayed to God to surround her with his love and with his healing. And I asked that he heal her from the affliction she was suffering from. And I went on praying for a few minutes, and I don't remember what I said because I know it was God speaking through me. She told me that when we were done that nobody had ever prayed for her before. She said that she didn't think it was a coincidence that we were in the same room together. And she put the necklace on, and she put it on as soon as I gave it to her. And I went back to bed and asked her to, before I went back to bed, I asked her to remember every time you touch that necklace or you look in the mirror and you see that necklace, that remember God's here for you. And it was just really a profound experience for me. I knew that God had led me to approach that woman, and he had given me the strength to talk to her and to comfort her and to speak his word to her. And so I just want to tell you that God can call on you anytime, and don't forget to don't ignore it when he calls you. Just do it. Do what he puts into your heart, because that's really what we're here for, is to, you know, share the word and to help people. So thanks.
Thank you, Vanessa. Thank you. Yeah, and that was as she shared, that was a stretch for her to step into that. But the difference of her walking with God in the moment and stepping out in faith in that. And Pirate Jeff, you called me out, Vanessa. I love it. And every one of us can be an encouragement to each other. in how we walk with God in the moment. Well, this morning, I'm super excited to head into chapter 2, because in the story of Jonah, you get this over here. Jonah hears from the Lord. He hears a direct word. So he's in the presence of God. He hears God tell him exactly what to do. And then he, what? Tries to flee from the presence of God. And then God interacts in this storm, and he winds up getting thrown overboard to save the ship, save the crew, and he's in this whale. And it's a beautiful, beautiful picture that we get this morning of how God not only goes after the world, but after each one of our hearts in the process, and how he pursues Jonah and doesn't just write him off as, well, there goes Jonah off into the sunset, or I'll smite Jonah and find somebody else. But he actually goes after his heart. So I want to pray, and then we're going to read chapter 2 together. So Lord, as we approach your word, we just say thank you. Thank you for having these truths written down for us that happened so many years ago, but there's so much life in them. And there's so much about you and your character that shines through, even in Jonah's story. So much that's applicable in a story that happened so long ago to us right now, and even in this week that we have ahead of us, and the timing that you've drawn us to this book right now. So we thank you for that, God. Open our eyes. I pray for every person here that the eyes of their hearts would be open to your word to receive from you this morning. Holy Spirit, come and unveil what we may have never seen before in this book, in this story, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so this is chapter 2. As I read this, be in your heart, be watching for what we can learn about God's character from Jonah's prayer. So he's in the fish, and he's praying this prayer. That's the whole chapter, is his prayer. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol, I cried. That's the realm of the dead, Sheol. And you heard my voice, for you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around about my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. This is such a cool story. So we're going to look at some things that we can see about God, not just out there like, oh, God's like that, but how he interacts with us as we walk with him. First thing that stands out is God intervenes. Okay, we'll hit three points that stand out to me in Jonah's story. Would there ever be a time that God would do something in our lives to cause us discomfort on purpose? Does that feel like that would be the character of God? At parents, would there ever be a time where you would purposefully arrange something to cause discomfort for your kids, or need to find yourself in that? When would you need to do that? Why would you want to do that to your kids? To see them grow. To help them. To help them mature. To help them to learn something. Sometimes intervention on God's part, like, do you think Jonah was discomforted a little bit in the belly of the fish? Why would God do it? Isn't there a more comfortable way that God could have come up with to get Jonah's attention and call him back? Because we see in this prayer, God loves Jonah dearly. This is his son. This is his child. And he's going after his heart. Sometimes God's intervention is actually not intervening and allowing us to run our course. We say to get to the end of our rope. Have you ever prayed for some, probably not for yourself, because if you're in the rebellion, you're not praying for somebody else to get to the end of their rope. God allowing someone to dig a hole deep enough that they now can't climb out by themselves and they need God and they need others. Simply, as a parent, it might be the child who you've reminded several times that they need a coat if they're going to go out and play in the snow. And they just don't want to. So it kind of depends on our interaction as well with God and our responsiveness to the different ways that he tries to mature us and train us. And so, okay, Billy, you can go out and build a snowman without your coat and with no gloves. And he comes back in screaming and crying as his hands unthaw, and they got to that point where when they unthaw, it's painful. And you kind of allowed that to happen by not intervening. But that was an intervention, because that's what Billy needed to get to that point. So we see Jonah here recognizing, "You cast me into the deep. God did it." Here's a really interesting verse in his prayer. "Then I said, I am driven away from your sight." What did Jonah say? What did he say he was doing in the beginning when he was given his mission? What was he fleeing from? Come on, guys.
God's command.
God's command and his presence. He said, he was running from God's presence. Well, wait a minute, Jonah. I am driven away from your sight? It's like God said, okay, you want to go away from my presence. I'm going to let you feel that. I'm going to drive you away because I want you to come back. And he was running from his presence, but look what he praises God for here. "Yet I shall again look upon your holy temple." So now he's taken Jonah, because God's brilliant, and he's taken Jonah from that place of, I will run from your presence. I will run in disobedience. I will not do what you told me to do. To, I want nothing more but to be in your presence, because now you've driven me away. See, it's that separation that God realized he needs to feel. It's the prodigal son who goes off. The story of the good father and the prodigal son who wanted his inheritance and wanted to go off on his own. And so the father, in that case, knowing the heart of his son, knew the best thing to do was to let him go and feel the separation of his family until he got to the end of his rope, until he dug the hole that he couldn't get out of anymore. And that drew him back. So God was working with Jonah in that way. I mean, can you think of times in your life where God's interacted in that way? It's what we need in each situation that God brings to us in his intervention. I remember a really painful, for me, breakup that I had in a relationship early on in life. And in that moment, that was complete heartache. I was crushed. There was nothing worse that I could imagine happening to me than this girl breaking up with me. And then I realized, as the years went by and God brought me into his perfect plan, that it was God's intervention that actually caused that much pain in my life, but had brought me into his good and perfect plan for my life. It makes me think of the picture of giving somebody CPR, and oftentimes you break a rib or two if you do it right. So if you were saved by somebody and they saved your life and they got your heart pumping again, but they broke a rib or two, what are you going to do? Are you going to complain that they broke a rib in the process? Sometimes it hurts when God intervenes. A lot of that has to do with our choices. And in this case, Jonah deciding to run the other way, God said, I love you too much, son, to let you go. This is going to hurt for a time. but it's going to end in rejoicing. It's going to end in me coming in. The other thing that, Jonah recognized in this prayer is that God hears. So early on, first couple verses of his prayer, he recognizes that the Lord heard him, which is super important for us as we approach God in prayer to recognize that he hears. You know how much more faith rises up in you if you start your prayer with, Lord, I know you're listening and I know you hear me. This is a truth. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what circumstances are trying to say to me or lie to me. My own doubt is trying to say. The truth of your word is you hear. And so I declare that. I stand in faith on that and I recognize and embrace that you hear. Psalm 145 says, the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. And so sometimes in our prayers, God's trying to get to the truth of our hearts, and we might experience a silence. This is some circumstances. Lots of circumstances can lead to us feeling like God's being silent and like he's not hearing us. But we know by the word of God that he hears. So we can't conclude that. But he might be trying to get to truth. If Jonah would have called out to God in his situation on the boat in the storm and said, Lord, please calm this storm. We're not going to get to Tarshish this way. Calm the seas and help us go on our way in disobedience. And God wouldn't answer that prayer because he was in disobedience. Jonah might conclude, well, God doesn't hear me. He doesn't care. No, he's trying to drive you to pray the right prayer, which is in his will, and to lead you towards that, to lead you closer to him. That would have drawn Jonah, hopefully, closer. But our reaction sometimes when we feel like God's not listening, and if he would have prayed that prayer, was, God doesn't care. He's leaving me out here in this storm. Well, he cared very much, and he was intervening in that situation. Sometimes it's God's timing with God hears you in the moment. I prayed, as I came into a closer walk with God and received Jesus, his death on the cross, his payment for my sins, and came into that deep relationship with God, I started praying for my family at that point in my life. I started praying that my parents would know God at a deeper level, would have a close, intimate walk with God daily in their lives. And I prayed that for 10 years for them. And any point, 6 months in, I could have concluded, wow, I'm praying this prayer with all my heart because I want them to experience this relationship that I'm experiencing, this newness of relationship. And it was 10 years later that God did answer that prayer. So it's trusting God in what seems like silence, that he is working and moving and arranging and pursuing in our prayers. But also understanding we're coming to him in truth. So Jonah's experiencing God's intervention first. He's experiencing the Lord hearing his prayer in the belly of the great fish. And then obviously God saves is what we recognize and what he declares in his prayer. Salvation belongs to God. One of the interesting things about Jonah, he's one of the few prophets that Jesus refers to in his time on earth. So when Jesus was here before his crucifixion and he was talking to the disciples or he was teaching the religious leaders, he actually brought up Jonah both in Matthew 12 and Luke 11. We're going to read Matthew 12 and see what Jesus had to say about Jonah and what that teaches us about the fact that the Lord saves. So then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered Jesus, saying, Teacher, we wish to see a sign from you. So Jesus is doing all these miracles and amazing things, and they come to him and say, we want a sign. But Jesus answered them, An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, But no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here. And Jesus was saying, I'm greater than Jonah. I'm God in the flesh. And the Pharisees wouldn't accept it, wouldn't accept his warnings to repent. And so some cool things that are going on here is, number one, using Jonah as a sign at the end of Jonah's stay in the fish, salvation came to a whole city with thousands and thousands of people being saved. At the end of Jesus' stay in the tomb, when he rose from the dead, it meant salvation being offered to the world, to anyone who would receive it. And so that's the picture that he's painting there of, at the end of that time, salvation is offered. The other thing he's doing is he's calling out the Pharisees and the religious leaders, because he said the people of Nineveh, that city that was known for its unceasing evil, those people repented. They listened to the message of God and were convicted in their hearts and repented and turned from their sin, and God forgave them. And yet the Pharisees, the religious leaders of God's people, the Jews, were not heeding God's warning through Jesus. And so those people who are saved from Nineveh will be there in the final judgment to cast judgment on the Pharisees and the religious leaders who did not turn in their hearts to Jesus. I think at this point in our journey, because remember, as we started this four-week series, what we're really going after is God's heart. What is God's heart for the lost? The compassion that he has. And what we really see is Jonah, even starting in January here at church, what God has been walking us through is prayer, our prayer life, connection to God through prayer, worship, and praise. And through that connection, only through that connection can we both understand and then live in God's compassion and God's heart for the lost. And so he's trying to establish and stir that up in us at deeper and deeper levels, because it's only in that place that we can then go empowered to reach the lost. If you remember what we refer to in Christianity as the Great Commission, which is Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter 28, before Jesus ascended. So he was resurrected from the dead. He interacted with his disciples before he ascended into heaven, and then he was going to send down the Holy Spirit. And he gave this statement to his disciples, a commissioning. And anybody remember what he said basically in that? Go make disciples of all the nations, teaching them what? What did he say to teach them? It's okay, this is like classroom time here. To obey what? Yep, to obey the Lord, all the things that he had taught them, teaching them, and then baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. And that's it, right? Huh? Thank you. The part we forget is the part that we're learning in chapter 2 of Jonah. Because after he said all of that, he says this. Let's just read the whole thing. Now the 11 disciples, there's 11 now, because Judas, remember, he betrayed Jesus and he died, went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. They obeyed. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." That's an important piece. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of some of the nations." All nations. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Which he just commanded them to go make disciples of all nations, right? So that's what they're supposed to teach the new believers to obey as well. And behold, last sentence of the book, I am with you always to the end of the age. And that's what was wrong with Jonah at that point in the story. He was fleeing from the presence of God. I want you to think, don't answer this out loud, but I want you to think about the last time you shared the good news of what Jesus accomplished on the cross, the payment that he made, the way to find relationship and salvation with God. Clearly laid that out to somebody who doesn't know that or didn't know that. Just think back, how long do you feel like it's been? Have you ever done that? Has it been a couple of years? Has it been like this morning? This isn't to bring condemnation. I think it's to help us realize something. And that, by the way, doesn't always look exactly like that. Some of you have shared the gospel and how you live in ways that you would maybe say, I don't know, I don't feel like I've done that. And there's people like have experienced the gospel through you and that sharing. But for me, it's a convicting question. But what I realize is the times that I have done that, the times that I really have stepped into that, I've been in the place that Vanessa was at, where God was prompting my heart. I had a connection with God at a level of being led by him, led by his spirit, and I stepped into it. See, I think what we struggle with as Christians is there's always that question hanging over our head, isn't there? The question I just put out there, that I just laid on your shoulders of, yes, I love God, and I'm trying to do my best, but there's that thing about going and making disciples of all nations and sharing with my coworker or my extended family member or whoever it is in your life. When we asked last week, who needs this treasure? And it just feels like this, oh, this is so hard to just push through and do that. But I think a lot of that for me that makes that difficult is I forget the last sentence of Matthew chapter 28. And surely I am with you always to the end of the age. Because Jesus went to heaven, and what did he say he was sending? The Holy Spirit to fill us. That's what we learned in our worship series, or we're reminded of. So what we're learning here in chapter 2 is to stop, slow down. First of all, let God remind us, what is the mission that he's calling us to right now? Those missions will sound different if I asked anyone in this room. And you're just like, I know what God's got in front of me right now. That's a God assignment. And the intentionality of God was that we would go with him. I like this quote by Warren Wiersbe. Is a great author. I enjoy his style of writing, but he wrote this: remember, God is more concerned about his workers than he is about their work. For if the workers are what they ought to be, the work will be what it ought to be. And what he's saying in that is our connection with God and our going with God in the doing is just as important, more important than just getting an assignment and going off and doing it. Because I, in that place, in that posture, I failed. In my story, with the gas station, I know God's grace covers that, and I know he'll give me other opportunities. But it's a reminder to us, we can't just decide in the moment when God gives us an opportunity to have a close relationship with God. Oop, I need a close relationship with God. I need connection with him. I need to be talking to him. Right now is my opportunity. No, you've got to be walking with God, close with him all the time. It's a relationship that then just flows over. The worst thing that could happen to you when you're sharing the good news with somebody, the worst thing that can happen to us in our lives has already happened. It's already happened to everyone in this room. Separation from God. The worst thing you can experience in life tops everything. Romans 8, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, this is the Apostle Paul writing, who went through a lot of difficult stuff in sharing the good news. I'm convinced that neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He valued more than anything else, and he died for his faith, that separation. Being connected with God was everything to him. And we were separated. We were separated. If you haven't put your faith in Jesus Christ, you're in that place right now. You're separated from God in your life. The worst thing that could happen to you is there because of your sin. Like all of us who have put our faith in Christ, that's where we were at. But we've been drug out of the camp, put on a cross, and died with Jesus. And he took that payment for us. And so if we die with him, we go with him to the cross, we get to live a new life with God. And it's out of that new life, like Jonah is learning, it's out of that relationship and connection with God, it's being in his presence that we go in power to share the good news. So I want you to ask this question this week. So thinking about who needs the treasure in my life, we've got to pause on that and ask ourselves, are you believing God will intervene, hear, and save in your story? The level to which you believe those things to be true are probably representative of how closely you're pressing in and walking with God, not just in the sharing, but just in your life and the areas of your heart that he wants to get to right now, in the mission or the calling or the thing that he wants you to dig into right now in your life. It's about digging in with him as well. So what mission is God calling you to? Are you believing God will intervene, hear, and save in your story? Worship team, if you want to come up. And I just want to pray for us. Pray this about this question for us as we close this morning. Lord, Lord, I just pray that you would lead us right now, even in this prayer. God, our desire is to not gather what's true about you from the world, from even circumstances where we feel like we've prayed for something and it feels like you haven't saved or you haven't intervened or you're not hearing. But Lord, we want to be those who stand before you in heaven, remembering that no matter what circumstances try to say, we're not separated from you. And you can smile over us and say, well done, good and faithful servant. You have trusted me with your whole heart. And here's the rest of the answers of why things went the way they did. I choose to trust that. But Lord, we want to be people who are sharing with the world the truth of what you're like, not taking from the world the false story about who you are. So help us to be that, God. But I pray for each person in this room. As we continue in Jonah and as we see that there's more work for God to do in Jonah's heart, it's not all better. Even after being swallowed by a fish and praying for his life and being reconnected with you, there's more heart work to do. It's true for everyone here this morning. It's true for me. So Lord, as we continue in this journey to understand your compassion and to be in mission, co-mission with you, Lord, I pray that you'd be doing that work in each of us and that we would be like Vanessa, encouragements to one another to walk with you in the moment. In Jesus' name, amen.